knows my voice. Thank you, Sister Toby. We are getting series of special numbers, solos, and they are such a blessing. Amen.
Hallelujah.
How great you are. How great you are. How great.
How great you are.
Say how great.
How great you are.
Oh,
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 someone in a fix, and I think it's financial. You need a breakthrough, you need it urgently. But indeed, this week God will show up. I don't know how to put that. He has shown up. We heard this morning how he walks behind the scenes. But God's already showed up. I sense a 5. I'm wondering if it's a 50 or a 500. But God will show up. It doesn't matter what the figure is, but I sense a 5 at the start of it. But you must have, and you will have. Because the art is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you thanks this morning. We appreciate you. Thank you for just the privilege of knowing you, the privilege of worshiping you, and the opportunity and privilege to be gathered and fellowship with the brethren and with you this morning. Thank you because you speak to all of us, whether present here physically or online. Thank you because you will say something to us that will change our lives forever. Your word is full of living power. So every time we look in that word, we release power. Thank you because your power is released into our circumstances, into our situations, into our bodies this morning in the name of Jesus. It's released into our minds. We'll not lose our minds no matter the pressure in the name of Jesus. But your word will bring peace. It says, I will listen and hear what it will say unto me, for the Lord will speak peace. Yeah, you speak peace to the storms in the name of Jesus. Thank you for instruction in righteousness. Thank you for enabling me to speak as your mouthpiece and for all of us to hear what that which you have determined for us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to John chapter 6 this morning and I'll continue what I stopped, you know, last week, or where I stopped last week. John chapter 6. If you have a Bible like mine, it has a subtitle and it says The Feeding of the 5,000. But I began to speak last week on how you can give more than you can afford. how to give more than you can afford. And I'm talking about the fact that very often we find ourselves in situations, in places, we want to be a part of what is going on, we want to do something or the other, but we think that we are inadequate, we think that I can't give as much as I would wish to. But God is telling us, you know, in this series of teachings, that you can actually give more than you can afford. Again, let me say that it's not just financial, it's just about participation. I actually thought about, you know, titling it Participation, the Key to Giving More Than You Can Afford. You know, the fact that just don't let the opportunities to participate go pass you by. When there is an opportunity to be a part of something, your heart goes there, then find that opportunity, no matter how small, find that thing that you can contribute to it and contribute towards it. Amen. And you'll find that at the end of the day, you can give more than you can afford, or more than you thought you could afford. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 6 from verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that this may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Remember what we're saying this morning if you're in Bible school? So the testimony we got this morning, and he says what he asked them, where shall we get bread to buy? But actually he already had an answer to what he was asking them. He already knew the solution to it, but he was still asking them, where shall we get bread to buy? So very often, whether God is asking you or you are asking God, you better know that he already knows. Amen. And he already knows the answer. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says that there is no temptation or trial, if you wish, that is taking you that is not common to man. He said, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. He said, and God will ensure that with the temptation, he makes a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. So it means that every time the trial or the situation comes at you, God has already prepared the way of escape even before that thing came. Can I have an amen? So whatever situation you might be in, you are never locked in. You are never trapped. You are never stranded. God has a solution. He had already made a way out of it. Can I have an amen? You know, and that's why I say to people jokingly when people pray, ah, God, why me? Then somebody said, why don't you suggest to him who he should be? You know, so since you know better than him and you are saying, why me? Tell him who. Don't stop your prayer there. Say, why me? Why not Brother Divine? You know, and all of that. You know why it is you and not Brother Divine? Because God knew what you are able to bear. Can I have an amen? And whatever is coming your way is custom sized made. Can I have an amen? It's custom made just for you. You can handle it even if you don't feel like it. Can I have an amen? And you will be able to bear it and find a way out of it if you will only walk with God. Can I have another amen? So verse 7, it said, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So this was not stingy sharing. Can I have an amen? They were not sharing. I said, it's enough. Have you ever been to buffets where there will be servers there, and they will tell you, okay, you can't have fish and chicken. It's one of the two. Pick one. And they say it's a buffet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not a buffet. This one that you're standing there, say, ah, you can't take two. It's one. It's not a buffet. Hallelujah. He said that they share to them as much as they wanted. You want more, they cut more for you. Hallelujah. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. And how many people know that that boy took home a lot of food that day? Are you hearing me? How many people can imagine what happened when the boy arrived at home and he was dragging baskets? Baskets. And his mom thought, what in the world did you do, you this boy? But all the boy did was participate. I may also know that when they were talking about feeding the people, they were not going around searching people's bags, you know, to find what they had. The boy must have offered to them. I haven't heard that there was a problem of feeding. He said, okay, may I have my lunch box here? Can I give my lunch? You know, and that's all he offered to them. But in doing that, he started off a miracle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He participated in one of the biggest miracles we all know of and people talk about and have been talking about for thousands of years. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Well, because it's Mother's Day, let's also talk about a woman. Mark chapter 12. Mark 12, are you there? Mark 12 and verse 41. Mark 12 verse 41. He said, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrant. That's, you know, when the Bible speaks that way, it's like it's trying to explain to us how really small it was. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why if you just say put in 2 mites, they were trying to explain. Some translation says which was less than a penny. Another one says which was less than 2 cents. Okay? So they were trying to do that. Well, the penny and the cents for to the pound sterling and the dollar are like the kobo in the naira and kobo. So he said the 2 mites he put in was less than a kobo. You know, that's what the Bible is trying to describe to us, how small it was, how small a part in the giving was. It says, so he called his disciples to himself and said to them, please imagine all these things. Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Reminds me. When they asked somebody and they said, what's the greatest miracle that he had ever experienced under the ministry? They asked R.W. Schambach, what's the greatest miracle he ever experienced under the ministry of A. Allen? I believe it was, if my memory serves right. And he said, well, it was one woman. And the woman had come and had a child who had 27 malformities, 27 deformities from birth. He said, and that woman had been in the tent meeting for some days. R.W. Schambach, being the assistant and all that, you know, had gone and met this woman. And the woman had told him that, look, I've spent all that I have in coming here, and I've spent how many days sleeping in this place. I don't have any more money. You know, so by tomorrow, I'll have to leave and go back to where I came from. She said, but the man of God has not prayed for my child yet. You know, and R.W. Schambach said, he told the woman, he said, look, if he doesn't pray for her tonight, because he would call by numbers. Very often those days, they will give you tally numbers, as it were, and the man will call numbers, you know, that he will pray for each night. And he said, if he doesn't pray for you tonight, then I will arrange for you to see him after the meeting so he can pray for the child. You know, so that was the agreement. And this woman, I mean, she had told him, I don't remember the exact figure, whether I have only $20 left, you know, and so after tonight, we're broke, we have to go back, you know. And he said that night, A. Allen came on stage, and he did something he had never done before. She said he began to speak right as soon as he got on stage and said, today, I want you to give, you know, more than you can afford. I want you to give an offering of faith. And how do you, Schambach said, he was looking at him because he had never done that before. He said, I want you to give an offering of faith. I'm not taking an offering. Okay? So relax now. Amen. Okay? And while he said all of that, he said, and you have to give more than you can afford. It's an offering of faith and all of that. He said, and that woman came out to put money in the offering. R.W. Schambach said, of course, he was curious because he knew the state of that woman, that he looked in the offering bag to see what she put in. He said, and she dropped the $20 or so that she said she had left. He thought to himself, this is not good. I might have to take this one and return to this woman, you know, after this service, because I know that that's all she has left. She had told me about it before. He said, but when A. Allen finished taking the offering, he began to speak, and he said, Lord, God is taking A away in the spirit. He said, and he began to mention the town. He said, I've just crossed this town. I've crossed this border. I've crossed this border. We need to know again that God is real. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And some of these stories, I can spend the whole service telling you stories. And the reason why some of these things are shared is so that we can know that this is not about religion. There is a real God that we have a relationship with. Can I have an amen? And you should develop your personal relationship with that real God, because there are amazing things that can blow your mind that God will do for you and through you if you know him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, and the man began to speak and said, look, God is taking me in the spirit. He said, I've crossed this place. I've entered this place. I've crossed this place. He said, and I find myself in a hospital. He was speaking it out as he was seeing it in the spirit. He said, I find myself in a hospital in so-so place. He said, and I'm in a delivery room. He said, a woman has just given birth to a child. He said, that child has 1, 2. He said, 3. He said, 4. He said, no, that child has 27 diseases. He said, woman, you are here in this service. Bring that child out now. God wants to give you 27 miracles. R.W. Schambach said he almost fell off his seat. He said, because he thought to himself, how can somebody be that detailed? You know, and they brought the child. Of course, the child was a vegetable, you know, with tongue sticking out, saliva pouring out, limbs are limp and all of that. This was a child that was a few years old. He said, and the woman carried the child and brought the child out in a hurry. He said, close your eyes, we're going to pray. God is going to give this woman and this child 27 miracles. He said, and Adam Shamba said, no, there was no way he would close his eyes for this one. That this one he must see for himself. He said, and the moment the man laid his hands upon her and prayed, the tongue just flew back in, the limbs grew strength. He said he screamed, the eyes that were turning and looking flimsy, everything just began to change right in front of his eyes. And that child was healed of every single deformity. Are you there? R.W. Schambach himself was a great evangelist later on, but he said, that's the greatest miracle I ever witnessed by myself, and I saw under the ministry of A.A. Allen. Are you still with me, anybody? This woman also, just like that child, the Bible first described and said that everybody was giving. Everybody was coming out and they were giving. And the Bible says they were giving abundantly. You know, that's where it started from. He said, and many who were rich were putting in much. That was enough to discourage the woman. It was enough for her to say, well, what are they going to do with my own? You know, everybody here is better than I am. I even hear now that people talk about churches that are for certain classes of people. And I said, that's not Christianity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God looks at participation. Church is for everybody. Can I have an amen? It's not about classes. I hear people tell me, oh, I wasn't in church because I had nothing to wear. I said, so please explain to me. Were you walking around naked last Sunday? You had nothing to wear. What did they mean? I didn't have something with which I could compare and perhaps be able to fit in and share and compete with everybody else. But who cares? Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody? Listen, if you have not, just wear clothes. That's what we demand of you. Wear clothes that cover your body well. Can I have an amen? But it doesn't matter how much it costs. It doesn't matter how class it looks or doesn't look. We don't care. And you are not here for that. Can I have an amen? It's not competitive. So the woman looked at everybody putting in the much. But despite that, she went ahead and put in a 2 kobo. You know, people will often talk about it and say what? They say, I'm going to give my 2 mites. You know, and the 2 mites actually meant that the woman gave her all. It's one of the most difficult things. The Bible says that when Jesus saw the woman put in 2 mites, she called the disciple, come and see. This woman has put in a lot more than all these other people. That was very strange. Very strange. How can you say 2 kobo is more than what these guys have been putting? There's 1 million. There's 500,000. There's 2 million. There's 5 million. And then you say this 2 kobo is more than them. Why? Because he said, listen, the woman took everything she had and put it in. They gave out of their abundance. What that means is that they gave what they couldn't miss.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? What it meant was that there was no sacrifice involved. They gave something that didn't really matter. They just did something. So there are people who do things that don't really matter. It means that they go to church only when it's convenient. Can I have an amen? They will only serve God when it's convenient. When it's not convenient, they just give it up easy. That's what Jesus was talking about. He was saying, look, God looks at fractions. He doesn't look at all numbers. Can I say that again? God thinks about fractions and not whole numbers. So it's not about 10 versus 1. It's about that one. Out of how many did that one come out from? It's fractions. Out of how many did you have that you put down something? Out of how many hours did you have that you put down 2 hours? Out of how much strength did you have that you still went in the little strength that you had and said, I must be in choir practice? Are you hearing me, anybody? That's what God is concerned about. He's thinking to himself, this person is making a lot of sacrifice. He's putting time out of no time. He's putting money out of no money. Even though that money looks like nothing, God is saying that money is a lot more money because that money is a whole lot out of the total that he or she has. Your sacrifice is what matters to God. Are you with me? And don't ever, we began to speak the last time, and we said the first thing about how to give more than you can afford is don't look down on what you can afford. When that boy came and he said, I have my lunch box. The disciple took it from him, went to Jesus. He said, we have a little boy's lunch here. It's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, but what is that among so many? What he looked at and he said, what is that among so many? The Bible says Jesus took it and he gave thanks. He took it and he gave thanks. Don't look down on what you have or what you are and what you can put down, but thank God for it. Are you hearing me, anybody? If you are going to give more than you can afford, you will have to be grateful for the little that you can do. That's what God is after. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we read it the last time, verses 1 and 2. He says that we should be considered as stewards of the mysteries of God. And above all, the requirement or the thing, the character or the quality that God is looking for is faithfulness. Are you faithful to steward what he has given you? It doesn't look like much, but you are faithful with it. You are faithful with serving him. You are doing the best that you can. That's what matters to God. Luke chapter 2, we're talking about a woman. Anna, she was called. She couldn't sing. She couldn't play instruments. She couldn't preach. But the Bible says that the woman served the Lord day and night with fasting and prayer. That's what she knew what to do. She knew how to do that. And in fact, the Bible says she did it from 7 years from her virginity when she lost her husband. What that means, if you want to interpret that right, people would marry in their late teens in those days, thereabouts. So maybe she was 19, let's say. And then she, from 19, and she was 84. At that time when they brought baby Jesus to the temple. And the Bible says from that 19 to 84, you know, from, okay, no, 19, she got married. Then 7 years into the marriage, she lost her husband. That gives her to about, what, 26. By the time they brought Jesus to the temple, she was 84. The Bible says from that about, estimated, 26 years old till she was 84, she was serving God in the temple day and night with fasting and prayer. So what will she pray for? She will pray for the pastor. She will pray for the city. She will pray for the people. She will pray morning, noon, and night. She will pray till she was tired and her tongue was sticking together and she will start again the next day, fasting again and praying. And she will pray. You promise that there will be a Messiah. Your prophets have spoken and prophesied a Messiah. And she will pray, Lord, let the Messiah come. Lord, let the Messiah come. So when they brought the Messiah to the temple as a baby, she came out and took the baby and she recognized, this is what I've been praying. I prayed it for over 60 years, or about 60 years, and the Lord has answered. Are you still there? So number one, don't look down on what you have. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I've met people before who say, well, you know, I'm so busy, my work and that, blah, blah, that's why I can't do anything in our church. And I said, no, what do you really want to do? Oh, I want to be in the choir. I said to them, why don't you go talk to them? Talk to them. Explain your job to them. Explain your circumstances to them. Let them know what it is. And tell them, I want to do this, but these are my circumstances. What can I do? If they say, well, what you'll be doing for us is that whenever you're around, you'll be helping us hold the drum because our drum set is shifting. Whenever they are drumming, just hold it for us. Go and be doing that one for them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They say, well, only when you're around, you can't lead any special number, but you just be there backing up. The day you can come, let us know. You will back up. Be doing that one faithfully. Your willingness to serve and use what you have will ensure that other opportunities will open. Can I have an amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So don't look down on your contribution. Your contribution is important. That's what we're saying. Don't look down on it. Don't despise it. He said, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. He said, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the all were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Are you hearing me? No, rather, the ones that seem weaker are necessary. Thank God that gone are the days when Pastor Y would be sitting at the back there. You still remember those days. He can't sit here. He'll be sitting at the back there. Sometimes I say, don't go there. Stay here. He said, go, 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 but now that he's able to sit down, Abby, is able to also give you more. Because he's not thinking about what's happening at the back there. He's able to focus. He's able to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. He's able to share what he wants to share from God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because he's not thinking about that one anymore. Why? Because that one is necessary. So, and those who are doing it are contributing their part and therefore making for the effectiveness of the body. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16. In fact, if you read from above verse 11, he was talking about that he ascended and he gave gifts to men. And then he mentioned the gifts that we always talk about, you know, the pastor, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist. He mentions them, okay? And he says they are given for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. But then he goes all the way down and he talked about verse 16. So those guys are given to train the others. That's what it's saying. They are given to train the others, but then guess what? Verse 16, it tells us what is most essential. It said the growth and the stability of the body of Christ depends upon what every joint supplies. Not on what the fivefold ministry gives can supply. It depends on what every body supplies. The growth and the stability of that body is not based on the unction of the pastor alone. Are you with me? It's based on the contribution of everybody. It adds to it. So in Acts chapter 6, what happened to them? The Bible says that they were carried away. The apostles were carried away with the serving of the tables. And they were not doing it well. As they did it, there were complaints. And then they said, you know what, in verse 4, they said, why don't you find people that can be charged with this task, and we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Why Why don't you find other people to do this? And we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. But guess what? Once they did that, if you read the book of Acts very well, the growth began. The establishment, the stability began. Why? Because they let go of certain things and focused on what they were meant to do, and others began to bring their own contributions, no matter how small it seemed. They were serving tables, but the serving of tables was important. Are you still with me? Number two, use what you have. So don't despise it. Don't think it's too little. Don't think it doesn't matter. I mean, last time I told you stories, you know how, in fact, if you remember when we started off with trying to get the property in Ibadan, I said it will happen. The only question you have to ask yourself is, will I be a part of it? Are you following what I'm saying? It's going to happen. So years ago, when I was in medical school, and I told God, I think I told the story recently, and I told God when I entered university, and I said, God, I want to serve you. I want to do something for you, whatever it is, but I'm not going to conjure or invent something. And that was in my first year in the university. In my last year in the university, I woke up and I was having my quiet time, and God said, remember what you said to me? I said, yes. He said, now it's time to do it. I said, okay, what? He said, I want you to organize this concert. You know, and it was on a scale that had never happened in that university before as a gospel concert, and definitely had never happened in medical school. And we began to put it together. The budget was huge and all of that, and we began to put it together. We began to do everything. We're praying and fasting every week, waiting upon God. The different teams were there, those who were singers, those who were dancers, those who were drama. Everybody was rehearsing on their own, and all 98% medical students. And people were walking together, and we were praying, and we were believing God for funds, and money was coming in trickles and all of that. We didn't know where it was going to come from. I didn't pastor a fellowship on campus. There was nothing. So there was no source for it, as it were. Until the last morning, you know, when we were praying. I mean, the resources were coming in, miraculously. And one gentleman said to me after the prayer that morning, the concert was that Saturday night. He said to me, he said, you know, I didn't believe it was going to happen. He was there. He said, but I didn't believe it was going to happen. He said, it's just this morning. This morning, it dawned on me that, it will happen. Are you with me? He was participating, though. That's good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But he said, I just kept thinking, hey, this thing. He said, but this morning, it clicked that it will happen. Hallelujah. Use what you have. Don't just not despise it, but use it. So the boy dropped the lunch. The woman dropped the 2 mites. She didn't think, I will keep it. I will save it. When it becomes 4 mites, when it becomes 10 mites, when it becomes 100 mites, then I will bring it. Are you with me? The boy didn't think, well, it's just, let's see whether they can get other people's lunch, then I can add my own. A pastor called me recently and said, you know, we're believing God. I mean, we've been served quick notice, blah, 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 and then we're believing God for a property. He said, and we found a place, and I believe that's the place. It's just clicked inside of me. I believe it's place. He said, but we've never done something like this before. He said, it's on a scale that it's scary. He said, if I said, man, let me ask you, do you ever get scared? That you see something and you are scared? He said, because the way this thing is, he said, but there's a conviction inside of me that is for us. And I said, yeah, but you ignore that one. Faith will work in your heart with doubt in your head. I said, so the main thing is, do you believe this is the direction God is leading you in? Then you go for it. And I thought to myself, I said, well, we'll see what we can do to participate. So I called Pastor Bidia and I was talking. And at first, you know, the thought was, why don't we wait and see and see what they can put together? Then we can add something to it. And I thought, no, you don't wait. We add to it now from the very get-go. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Use what you have. So I thought to myself, well, what we have, what we will put in there was not that much in the scale of it. And I was thinking, well, let's see whether they can get the deposit. Let's see how much they raise first. Then we will have to top it up. And I thought, no. That's not the way to do it. We put it there even in order to stir their faith and even draw more resources in for them. Are you with me? Oh, there are many huge testimonies that people need to tell. There's a lady who took off to Canada. And when she started her journey, she told me, she said, I believe this is the step I'm supposed to take, because I will always ask you that. It's not, I will ask you, do you believe this is what God is leading you to do? Because you need God. Can I have an amen? I said, well, she believed it. I said, great. I said, so you go for it. She went for it. I mean, against all odds, things were working. She had a job, and all of that. And she one day she called me. I said, I'm going for the medical test, but I just discovered that I'm pregnant. She said, I didn't know. I didn't plan for that. I said, well, simple. When you get there, tell them in the test and all that, so they'll be mindful of what they do, your exposure and all of that. I said, but go for it. So she did, beat the test and all of that. And then the pregnancy progressed. And again, against all odds and expectation, she got to the stage now she was 10, basically 8 months plus. And they said, oh, the visa was approved to go and study. And the agent said to her, well, maybe another 2 months or so, they will call for you to send your passport and they'll put the visa. In 2 weeks or so, they called her and said, send it in. The agent said, I've never seen response this fast before. And the thing came, they put the visa they gave her. Then she called me, said, now what do I do? Said, because I have nothing, I'm prepared for nothing, there's no accommodation there is no this, there's no that. I said, where did we start from? He said, God led you on this journey. I said, there have been signs. Things were happening faster than you could imagine. And even the agent who does it for people says he has never seen this before. I said, so God is in the matter with you. I said, so what you will do is that by in 1 week, by we're speaking this week, I said, by next weekend, you must be in the air. Because you are now at delivery. I said, by next weekend, go and speak to your doctor. Let them give you a letter. By next weekend, you must fly. He said, I don't even have where I'm going. I don't have accommodation. I don't have anything. I said, just go and make preparation. Find money. Get tickets. You must fly by next weekend. Otherwise, you have baby here. If you have baby here, you will start again. All the money you put now is gone. I said, you will start it again, and you have to apply for the baby. You will spend times two. I said, so you must go now. Anyway, long story short, God found somebody to accommodate her who turned out to be a retired nurse. I think in about less than a week or so, or about a week after arriving there, she had a baby. Then she had the baby. She had bill, thousands of dollars. She has not paid school fees. Oh, I told her recently when she was sharing with us on our virtual fellowship, I said, you have to write a book. You need to write something. You need to share something. But the bottom line is that she believed God and she took a step. Are you there? What was I saying? I said, use what you have. Okay? Use what you have. Participate. Take a first step. They were all in the boat one time, Matthew chapter 14. And the Bible says that when they were in the boat, they were caught in a storm. And then Jesus came walking upon the waters. And they were all screaming, it's a ghost, it's a ghost. And then Peter said, if it is you, remember, that's the foundation. If it is you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. He didn't say more than that. He didn't say, it's me, or Peter. I swear, it is me. He just said, what? Come. God is not going to say much more. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The word he has given you is enough. That Bible you are reading is enough. Can I have an amen? People are a little quiet. Yeah? I said it's enough. In fact, it's more than enough. If you've ever read in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, is it Hebrews or Romans? Now, the Bible said that he could swear by no one greater. He swore by himself. By two immutable things wherein God cannot lie. He swore by himself and he said what? He said, surely in blessing I will bless you. I prayed a message years ago. I called it when God swears. And what did I mean? When God swears, he doesn't say more than I will. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when they said he swore by himself, he didn't say anything other than surely I will bless you. So all day I will bless you, I will deliver you, I will rescue you that you read in the Bible. That's God swearing. That's all he can say. He can't say more than that because there is nobody above him. Are you still with me? You know, I cut the lady's story short because even with the bill, God will state, the doctor said, you know what, give her whatever bill, remove all my fees. I'm not, they don't put my own fees, just whatever she spent in the hospital. Then they said to her, he said, I don't have money still. They said, okay, we're going to space it out. How much can you pay every month? I think she said, is it $100 or $200? They said, it's okay. So, oh dear. We serve a great God. Are you with me? But use what you have, because when you use it, it increases. Are you hearing me? When you use it, it increases. In Acts chapter 6, which we're not reading, they said, find people, you know, faithful people who can serve the tables, the apostle said. And when they found those people and they began to serve the tables, later on we heard about those people. We heard that miracles and signs and wonders were being performed by their hands. What happened? As they used the little that they had, more things began to manifest. As they began to participate, more things began to happen through them. Nobody expected that Stephen and Philip miracles would be happening through them. They were just meant to be stewards, serving tables, serving rice and chicken. That's all they were supposed to be doing. But the Bible says that they wrought many miracles among the people. Because as they began to serve that one, as they began to do that one, and they didn't say, me, I'm too big for that. How can they say me, I should come and be serving rice? How can they say me? All the time it's me that they say I should be serving rice. All the time they say it's me that should be serving minerals in church. Why is it me that they call? They didn't complain. But as they did that, the gift of the working of miracles began to manifest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The gifts of healings began to manifest through them. Why? Because they were faithful in using what they had. Hebrews chapter 5. Or rather, let's read Luke chapter 16 first. Luke 16. So remember, we're talking about what? How you can give more than you can afford. How you think, I can't do that. That's too much. It's beyond me. But it's not beyond you. Start from where you are. Luke chapter 16 verse 10. The Bible says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Are you there? If you will not take good care of your rubber shoes, why in the world should you have leather? That's what the Bible is saying in other terms. You know, I was complaining sometime about how some people dressed, you know, in the medical sector. And somebody said, well, maybe it's because they're not well paid. I said, no. What I'm talking about is the fact that one shirt that he has, why is it not ironed? Why is it not looking good and starched? Why is it dirty? Why is it crumpled? Then you expect me to give him a shirt? Why would I give him a shirt? That shirt will look like that soon. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, are you here? If it's you and I'm stepping on your toes, Jesus will heal it. Can I have an amen? If you not take care of your little car and wash it. I was telling my daughter recently, you know, we have one little car in the UK. And I was telling her, I said, you know, we went to the car wash, washed the car and all that. I said, if only you guys did this more often. I said, can you see how beautiful that car looks? Lovely. It's a little car. I said, can you see it? Very beautiful. I said, I discovered that secret long ago. That if you will take care of that little one you have, it will look good to you. If you washed it regularly, it will look good. You will like it. I said, but if you don't, it will look older than it's supposed to look, and you will be very uncomfortable with it. You want to get rid of it. You're always looking for a new one, for another one, but that new one will soon look like this one. Are you with me? You know, you don't say, I want a leather ball. No. The rubber one you have, what have you done with it? Where is it? I don't know. So if you got a leather one, we won't know where it is soon. Are you still there? Oh, pastor, if only, look, if God blesses me with a big contract, 100 million. Pastor, this Grace Community Center, is me alone, I will build it. It's a lie. If with what you have now, you are giving nothing, when 100 million comes, you will not give nada. Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody? You're becoming more quiet. Eh? You know, it's easier to give a tithe of 1,000 naira than it is to give a tithe of 1 million naira. Except you are a tither. You are just a tither. You have been doing it normally. Eh? Did you know that? That if you had, 10,000 naira and you brought 1,000 naira and say, I'm giving tithe 1,000 naira, it's easier. But if you had 10 million naira and you have to take 1 million out of it, that's when you'll be hearing discussion. We don't even know what they do with the money in church. They don't even, when did they present account to us? They should be publishing account every week so that we'll be seeing the money and how it is spent. It's because now it is the turn of 1 million naira. The man is speaking all kinds of grammar. Are you with me? But if you are used to doing it, if you are used to giving, it doesn't bother you. One of my friends who is one of the pastors in a mega church in this city was telling me, he said, you know, he said, the biggest givers, you don't even know them, you don't hear about them. He said one day somebody was telling him they were doing a big, big auditorium building. And he said somebody was telling him, he said, that man gave 100 million. He said, who? He said, that man, that one that is going there, 100 million. He said, it's a lie. But that's the man you will never hear anything from. He will not sit in front. He says a lie. He said that they were pointing out to him the biggest givers to the project. He said he couldn't believe it. Because they were the people you will miss them easily. Are you with me, anybody? When I was in we lived in an estate in Antony. And when I arrived there, I asked them, you know, do they have estate meeting, blah, blah, blah. The agent had told me, this is what you do. The estate office is there. You pay dues and all that when they are paid. And I attended the meeting. And when I attended, there was one man there that was making a lot of noise. They don't run their account. They should be sending account to us every month on our phone. We should see what they are doing with the money because he wasn't paying dues. And one day they had done enforcement and locked the gate. And you, how can you lock me out from going to my work? Blah, blah, blah. We don't even know what to do with the money. We don't. Blah, blah, blah. We were paying, I think it was 10,000 naira a year. So the man spoke blue. So when he finished, I raised my hand. I said, well, good morning. It's my first time. I'm new in the neighborhood. I said, but I don't want to know. I don't want to see your accounts. I don't want to know what you do with the money. I said, I've been around a few months, maybe two, three months then. I said, I've been around and I see what is going on. I can see security men at the gate. I can see that they even patched a pothole. I mean, with cement and all that, patched it up and what have you. They put mirrors at some corners, dangerous corners and all that. And I told my wife, I said, these people are really trying, you know, in this estate. They're really working hard. I said, I don't want to know. I said, because I'm very sure that if this is the way you operate here, you must be subsidizing this thing. And it turned out I was correct. When they get all the dues they get, they won't get from 100% of the people. There will always be some silly, stubborn, but I know they don't come to this church. Am I right? I say, am I right? Uh-huh. So I discovered that the money they get usually finishes in October of the year. So it's the people, chairman and co, that will put their money to ensure that the guards are paid for the rest of the year and all of that. I said, I don't need to see it. I can tell because I know what things cost. And you are still trying this hard to do all these things. Are you there? Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12 to 14 talks about the fact that there are people who by reason of use have their senses developed. They no longer just need milk of God's word, but now they can chew on the meat of God's word. So there's an increase, there's a progression. He said that progression comes by reason of use. They have their senses developed. If you give more than you can afford, use. Start doing things. Start getting involved and participating. You see this? I want to do something. Listen, and now I remember why I told you the story about the lady in Canada. When she spoke to me about all the bills and all of that and the hospital bills, I said, you know what? My heart went towards her. I said, you know what? I send me your account details. I didn't have money. I said, but whatever I send to you, I believe God that whatever money I put there, it will draw money towards you. And I sent maybe $100, you know, at the time. She told me later, like a year later, because she went through, another dramatic thing. And she said she went to the pastor of the church there, and she told the man the situation and what she was planning to do. And the man said that she was going to get a loan and blah, blah, blah. And the man said, no, I don't believe that's God's will for you. I don't believe you should get a loan. You know, just pray, but I don't believe you should get a loan. And the man said, I'm going to give you a little money. Again, very small compared to the need at hand. He said, but she said, when the man said that, she remembered what happened with me and how I gave her that little money. She said that little money drew money. She said money began to come towards her and the bills were getting paid. He said, so when that man said, I don't believe you should take the loan, but I'm going to give you this little seed. She could have looked at it and just said, oh, this one, I'm talking thousands, you are talking what? You know, she said, but she remembered what I said and what happened. And she said, thank you very much, sir. She said, and when the man gave her that, I said, don't take the loan. She said she didn't take the loan because she also didn't believe it was God's will. She said, but God answered her prayers miraculously. Are you hearing me? In fact, by the last time she was sharing with me, she said not only did all her bills get paid, everything. She said the government wrote her and said, you were supposed to have been getting some money from us that we did not give you. Said, so we are going to give you all of the money. And they sent her money. She said, man, I paid all my debt and I have surplus. Are you with me? But I said, I would drop a little in there. Because my heart went there. I believed I was supposed to. I said, I'll drop a little. But that little will become much. Are you with me? Number three and the last thing. Set your affection right upon the things of God. If you are going to give more than you can afford, just set your affection on God and the things of God. Once you are passionate in following God, and you know this is God leading you to do something, just do it. Your affection matters the most, where your heart is. In Colossians chapter 3, maybe we need to read that, Colossians chapter 3. And verse 1, Colossians 3, 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Once your affection is set in the right place, you will know what to do, you will know how to do it, and God will step in and help you. Are you hearing me? I mean, they were talking about building a temple for God. Solomon wanted to do it. Nathan the prophet came to him. Solomon said, look, I'm living in a house of cedar, and God's hack is in a shanty. He said, I want to build a house for God. And the prophet said, do whatever is in your heart, for God is with you. But he came back because God spoke to him that night and said, no, David is not going to build it. There's too much blood. He's a man of war. He said, but his son will build it. So the prophet came back and said, no, you are not to build it. Your son will build that ark. So 1 Chronicles 29, David began to speak to his son. He said, because the house for the Lord is great. I'm not supposed to build it. He said, but it won't still escape me. He said, I've made preparations for it. So you will build it, all, but what you need, I will put it down. And he said, I put silver, I put gold, I put everything for the things that are to be made. I put them all there. He said, moreover, I think that's verse 3. He said, moreover, because my affection, I've set my affection on the house of the Lord, I have also brought out of my own treasury. So I didn't just put the national treasury. He said, I put out of my own treasury, personal treasury, gold for the things of gold, silver for the things of silver. But what was the motivation? He said, my affection. My affection. Can I hear you say my affection? Giving, following God, serving God, all of those things are only as difficult as your affection for God is. Little. Are you there? They're just as difficult as your affection for God is little. First and foremost, you know, in 2 Corinthians 8, he was talking about, you know, finances and things like that. But then in verse 12, he said, now, if there be a willing heart, it is accepted according to what you have and not according to what you don't have. Meaning what? God is not bothered by the amount or whatever you are giving or you are doing. He said God is first concerned about your willing heart. Your willing heart. That affection, that passion, that willingness to do something for God. He said that's the first thing. And then whatever you are able to do is accepted according to that passion in your heart. Are you with me? Galatians 4:18, he said, it is good to be zealously affected in any good thing, not only when I am with you. Meaning that zeal, that passion will ensure that there is no eye service. You are doing it for God. In the book of Acts, we know about Ananias and Sapphira. The Bible says that people were selling their things and putting it in the treasury, and then needs were being met, and then they also. So because they wanted to do eye service, they also sold their own things, but couldn't give it. So they held back part of it, but they went and lied that gave all of it. Because they also wanted to be, they wanted to belong. They wanted to be announced as the platinum givers in church. That they are the platinum givers, even though they held back part of it, but they wanted them to say, they are platinum givers. They were competing, doing eye service. That's what killed them. Ananias and Sapphira, that's what killed them. It's not because they did anything else other than Peter told them. He said, look, when this thing was sold, when it was with you, it was yours. When it was sold, it was yours. Why then did you come to lie? So you could have come to give whatever you wanted to give, but you didn't need to lie to us that is you gave everything. That is widow's mite when it's not. Hallelujah. Let me end on this note. But the beautiful thing about it is that you are able to set your affection. Did you hear what I said? Because when he said to us in Colossians chapter 3, set your affection on things above, the question is, how do I do that? But if he tells me I should set my affection, it means that it is possible for me to control my affection. It means that I have the ability to do something about where my heart is. Are you still there? And I usually tell people one of the simplest things you need to know in life is that your affection follows your attention. Did you hear me? Your attention follows your attention. What you give attention to, your affection will go in that direction. So when we were young, it was very annoying that no matter what you were watching on TV, in the limited television time that we had, when it became 9 o'clock, they would tune it, and they would tell you, turn that TV 28. We have to watch the network news. Burung burung, Abi, what's that? You put it on your Kenya recently, Abi? Banang bang, banang bang, ah bang. And it was very annoying because no matter what you were enjoying, turn that channel to NTA 9 o'clock network news. And we couldn't stomach it. But guess what? Sometimes there was nothing else you were doing. So you sit there. And the more we sat there, the more we also were looking forward to at 9 o'clock. After a while, we found out that our desire was going that direction. Are you with me? News that was not interesting and all of that, all of a sudden became an interest. Why? Because we gave attention to it. I was watching news so much at some point in time that I would go from D-Local, from local, I would go to CNN, from CNN, I would go to BBC, from BBC, I would go to Al Jazeera. One day I say, my job, I'm not a journalist. And sometimes you will watch that news, that same news on CNN, they will repeat it again. Then you watch the next one. Then, I say, come. What is all this? Are you still here, anybody? All of a sudden at 9 o'clock, our hearts will start longing for the network news. Why? Because we give attention to it. That's the basis of addiction, isn't it? Is that if you do something repeatedly, your heart, your affection starts going in that direction. So set your affection on God and the things of God. Just give attention to those things. Give attention to the word. Give attention to prayer. Give attention to being in church. Give attention to being with godly people who provoke you in that direction. And all of a sudden, your affection will start going and boiling up in that direction. Are you there? It will almost feel like I've not eaten if I've not listened to messages in a day. Why? My affection is there. I listen to it all the time. In fact, at some point, I had to say to myself, you should listen to some music too. You should be listening to some music too. Don't listen to some music. You don't even know which album they have released. Why? Because I was listening to the word all of the time. My affection was there. Are you with me, anybody? Let's stand on our feet this morning. So what have we said? How you can give more than you can afford? Number one, don't despise what you have or what you are. Number two, use what you have. And number three, if you use what you have, it will increase. And number three, set your affection in the right direction. Take a moment and just talk to God this morning. Talk to Him. Make decisions. What are you going to do differently? What action are you going to take based on what you have heard? I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am. Here I stand. If you're here, you need to make peace with God. Please do so now. You're not born again, as we call it, or as Jesus called it. Or you just don't feel right. You've not been walking with God the way you should. And you feel distant from God. You feel you have left God, but you want to come back to Him this morning. Put your right hand on your chest right where you are. All you need to do is pray a simple prayer and mean it. It's that simple. He said, all that will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God means it. Do you mean business with Him as well? So just tell Him, say, Lord Jesus, I'm here this morning. I commit myself to You. I know that You died for my sins. You rose for my justification. I make a commitment, fresh commitment to You this morning, to love You, to serve You, and lay my life for You. Thank You for saving me and keeping me and strengthening me along the right paths. Thank You for helping me to know You more and more with each passing day. Amen. And if you need miracles this morning, you need a miracle or the other, just put your right hand on your chest right where you are. Let's believe God together. If you are online, do the same. God is not limited by time or distance. Father, we stand together this morning. We stand upon Your unbroken promises. Your word declares. It says that we should call upon You, Jeremiah 3:33, that we should call upon You and you will answer us. You said you will even show us great and mighty things that we have not heard of, that we don't know anything about. We ask that you will do those things. Diverse needs represented here, but we believe you because you are a big enough God to answer each and every need at the same time. Thank you, because you are the one with outstretched hands. You are the one that is able to save us with your mighty right hand. Thank you because you do it. Thank you because it's done. We give you praise. Take a moment and just thank him. Thank him. Thank him. And from now, every time that need comes to your mind, just thank him. Just thank him. Don't ask again. Just thank him and say, God, I believe it's done. I believe it's happened. I believe you answered our prayers. I believe I have it. Father, we give you praise and glory. We exalt you this morning. In Jesus' name.